This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't shit to do.
That was comedian Chris Tucker speaking to rapper Ice Cube in the comedy Friday, where marijuana plays a large part in the plot line. And this is what we're discussing today as we conclude our series on addiction. We look at how the media portrays dependency. Joining me now is Dan Partland. He is the executive producer on the reality show Intervention on the A&E Network. And also Howard Samuels. He has a doctorate in clinical psychology and is executive director of the Wonderland Center, a residential addiction treatment facility in Los Angeles. Welcome to News and Notes.
Good to be with you.
Dr. Samuels, let me begin with you. And I've been thinking about this question, and I'd like to ask you this. Does the media accurately portray addiction, in your opinion, and does it have a responsibility to do so?
Well, first of all, the media does not portray addiction in its correct light. And I do believe it has a huge responsibility. And where the media is, you know, being irresponsible is that the only time that we're really talking about the crisis, the drug crisis in this country, which is at epidemic proportions, is when a celebrity gets arrested, and then we're all talking about that particular celebrity and what's wrong with Hollywood, which I think is totally irresponsible, because what Hollywood represents is America. And what is happening here is happening in the rest of the country. And when you want to talk about film, you know, all you got to do is look at that great movie, Knocked Up, where, you know, it's so funny with, you know, those guys smoking pot every day and being totally blitzed. And, you know, it's funny, but it's sad, because so much of our youth today are doing exactly that.
Let me bring Dan Partland into the conversation. He's in the studio here with me. Dan, you're the executive producer on Intervention, a show that attempts to help people with addiction. But before we ask you the same question that I just put to Dr. Samuels, here's a short clip from your show leading up to the intervention of one of the participants.
Asa blames my parents for his bulimia and his alcoholism.
Every time I would get seconds, oh, you're going to get another plate, Ace.
Okay, you know, I'm not the perfect dad. Maybe
no,
I thought I was doing right, and I wasn't.
I don't want your guys' help.
So here's the question. Does the media have that responsibility, and is that what you try to address with your show?
I think it does. Our effort in Intervention, though, is not to broadly just moralize about drinking and drug use. Our effort is really to try to focus the problem on addiction and abuse. The reason for that is that I think that the Just Say No era is kind of run its course. Just Say No is not, it's a good catchphrase, but it's not sophisticated enough to really point families at how to address the problem, which I think comes from understanding the roots of the problem, which frequently is family behavior and patterns, sometimes trauma from early childhood, or something as simple as low self-esteem.
How difficult is it to put together something like your program, because what you're dealing with is so very personal?
Well, it's a very difficult show to produce. One of the criteria that we use for selecting stories for the show really is, first and foremost, that it's somebody who's completely comfortable to share their problem. It's the complete frankness of our participants that's one of the real hallmarks of the show, and it's quite shocking to see sometimes on television. I think A&E has been very courageous in putting this kind of material on TV. But putting this kind of material on TV really is the antidote to some of the glamorized images that appear in other kinds of tabloid media.
Dr. Samuels, you know, with images of addiction on television and in radio and in print, as we've been discussing so far today, what impact has this had on ordinary people seeking treatment? Do you think it's made it easier, more acceptable, or more difficult?
Well, I think that, you know, when you have shows like Intervention that show the reality of the damage of drug and alcohol use, okay, it makes it easier, because you want to take the shame out of the issue. And, you know, it's such a widespread issue in our communities and in our families today that, you know, one of the problems has always been people have lived in the shadows and have lived in denial, and we want to take away that shame and that denial and make it okay for people to say, yes, I have a problem, I need help. And, you know, we've got to go from family to family in order to educate. And the only way to do that is through medias just like we're doing right now today.
Well, you know, let me put this to the both of you, and I'll come to you first, Dan. Is there, in your view, a cultural difference in the way addiction is shown in the media? And here's where I'm coming from. In African-American films and in African-American television sometimes, and in movies that show African-American characters, drug use and drug abuse is shown openly, while often in other movies the message appears to be at times wrapped in comedy and less offensive, I suppose would be one word you could use.
Well, for sure that the I think that the depiction in different communities is probably links back to how those communities have been affected by the drug use. But I do think that there's a maturation going on in the culture right now in terms of how we see it. I think that the era of connecting, for instance, crack use to a lot of urban poor and along racial lines as well, I suspect is being broadened now that we see that meth has sort of similarly decimated rural poor communities. So that both are kind of, you know, addiction, one of the things is that it cuts across all social strata. One of our express missions in intervention is to choose stories that defy the stereotypes in terms of how it's already portrayed in the media, because the statistics are something like 22 million Americans suffer from a drug and alcohol addiction. So that's just less than one out of every 100 of us. And fewer than 10% of those are really getting help right now. So we definitely want to make the point that we're, you know, that addiction cuts across all strata, and it's important for everybody to get help for it.
Do you see that in media, Dr. Samuels? And I'm thinking now about shows like Weeds on Showtime, which depicts a white suburban housewife selling marijuana and living a otherwise perfectly normal life.
Well, I do believe what Dan said. You know, at Wonderland, I mean, we see, you know, everybody, you know, that cross all economic and ethnic lines. I mean, you know, I used to smoke crack. I used to shoot heroin. And I'm 24 years clean and sober. And I came from an upper middle class family in New York. You know, I have housewives that come into treatment that, you know, are smoking crack and have babies, and or other housewives that are, you know, dependent on, you know, Percocet and Percodan. You know, so, you know, it really does cross, you know, that's the amazing thing about addiction. It doesn't discriminate, okay? And that to me is what is really sort of the issue that across the board. And you know, the media does their stereotypes and tries to make light of it, and it's not funny.
What impact, if any, Dr. Samuels, did you think that the media may have played in your addiction or in your recovery?
Well, you know, I know that for, you know, when I was arrested in New York, and I was arrested in 1969, 1971, my father was running for governor of New York. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, here I am, just, you know, a kid going to school, and all of a sudden I find myself on the front page of the Daily News and, you know, the front story of every news column in the New York Times and picture in Newsweek. And, you know, I had my 15 minutes of fame. And the interesting thing about that was that, you know, I had to sort of recover in public. I mean, I had to sort of, you know, wear my shame out in public. And in the one way, it was unfortunate because, you know, there was no privacy to my recovery. But in another way, it sort of, I couldn't hide from the problem. I had to take responsibility for the problem. And so it did help me, it did help motivate me, if you can understand that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You're listening to NPR's News and Notes, by the way. I'm Tony Cox. And if you're just tuning in, we are talking about how addiction is portrayed in pop culture. We're talking with Howard Samuels, a clinical psychologist and the executive director of the Wonderland Center, a residential addiction treatment facility here in Los Angeles, and Dan Partland, who is executive producer of the reality show Intervention on the A&E Network. Dan, you said something earlier I want to go back to. You talked about cultural maturation. And I'm thinking now, and my question is having to do with generational issues, because from, you know, Woodstock and Peace and Love and the old days of drug use to now, how has that impacted how we look at and think about drug addiction as a society?
Well, I think that the days, I mean, if you really track the evolution of that, you know, the days of the rat pack and glamorizing drunkenness and stuff like that, I think that, you know, we've moved from that through the 60s era. Maybe there was something in the 80s, too, about, you know, glamour and cocaine use on Wall Street and things like that. But I actually think that the current climate is more about what's going on in the tabloids, which is a real fascination with addiction, relapse, and recovery. And my sister got me a T-shirt that she was seeing people wear in New York City, and it says, "Rehab is the new black." And I think that that's kind of evidence of where we're at. It's a part of the fashion of the time, and I wonder if we should be bemoaning that the part of it that's about drug use, or maybe just celebrating that at least rehab has become part of the equation.
You know, we've talked a lot about media and the impact of it, radio, television, and print. We haven't talked yet, Dr. Samuels, about the Internet, because that is actually the newest, fastest, most impactful form of media that we have. How has that impacted our view of addiction?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, first of all, the Internet has been a great drug pusher with because you can actually buy prescription drugs illegally so much easier on the Internet. But, you know, there's a new drug called Selvia that, you know, is unfortunately legal in most of the country, and you can buy it over the Internet, and it's sold over the Internet. But also there is videos on YouTube about kids smoking it and hallucinating and losing body control and motor skills, and that has sort of spread like wildfire. And it wouldn't have spread like wildfire if it wasn't for the actual publicity of it on YouTube and all those videos. So, because we live in such an age where it's sort of instantaneous trends and new fads and new drugs, I think it adds tremendous good and bad to this issue.
Does a show like yours, Dan, have a shelf life in terms of what will be acceptable and interesting for an audience?
I don't think so. I suspect not, because I think that a lot of what the show focuses on is the collateral damage of the addiction. Addiction, you know, people will always debate whether their aunt or uncle or whoever has to have a cocktail every night, whether that's really an alcoholic or not. We try to focus on what the negative consequences are. If you're losing all your relationships and you're having financial distress and chaos in your life, then probably you have an addiction. Those problems tend to be what the show focuses on, because that's really where the problem lives. The problem lives in all the collateral damage. It's not just about when the person is getting high. I think most of those issues are fairly universal and timeless.
Another question for you is this. I would think that interventions would actually be, even though an intervention itself is an incident, but that there is a longer timeline involving a recovery. And I don't know if your show allows for that.
Well, the show, it's true, the show mostly tells the story of the problem and tries to get into the roots of the problem, and then shows a family trying to address the problem by getting someone into treatment. And then the show follows up on that person usually 3 or 4 months later when they're getting out of treatment, and people always ask, you know, what happened in between? You know, now they seem happy and well-adjusted, and they're in recovery, and they're very excited by it. I think it's very sticky, because the issues that come up in treatment are very, very hard to depict fairly in the media. Some of them are very private and wouldn't really be appropriate to be explored on camera. We do try to give insight into what treatment and recovery is all about along the way in the show, but ultimately is just very hard to show on television.
My final question is for you, Doctor, and it's this. Do you think that there is a timeline that is predictable in terms of recovery or in terms of treatments for someone who is addicted?
You mean a timeline as far as their recovery is concerned?
Yeah. Well, in other words, if you have an intervention or you get involved with someone to try to help them, can you generally anticipate how long it might take to get that person out of their addiction?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a process. I mean, I know that for me, my family intervened on me, and they had to intervene numerous times over a matter of years in order to stop enabling me. And I think there's a process to it. But, you know, I think that what families have to do is they can't give up. They've got to keep on going after their loved one and continue the interventions as much as possible in order to help their loved one. Because, you know, I wouldn't be on the phone right now talking to you if it wasn't for my family saving my life by doing intervention on me.
There is help out there, and I think that that's one of our missions for the show, is to tell people that so they go out there and they look for it. A&E is doing a part of our public information mission. They're doing the recovery rally in New York on Saturday, September 27th. It's all part of an awareness raising and trying to connect people with resources so people know there is help.
Final thing for you, Dan. I've got about 15 seconds or so for you to answer. For the people that you do interventions on your show, how many of them recover and how many of them don't?
We actually have great results on the show. I think the three interventionists who do interventions for us also have a private practice, but the results tend to be even better for the show. We've done at this point about 102 interventions. All but two of them agreed to go to treatment. The vast majority of those finished treatment, and at last check, 77 of them were sober.
That's a good deal. Thank you, gentlemen, both, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Dr. Howard Samuels, Executive Director of the Wonderland Center, a residential treatment facility for addiction, and Dan Partland, the executive producer of the reality TV show Intervention on the A&E Network. He joined me here in our studios at NPR West.